Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show, where we invite e-commerce entrepreneurs, marketers, and agencies to talk about e-commerce, the best strategies and tactics, and what to implement in your own e-com store. Before we jump into this episode, I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, here is Daniel Budai with a brand new episode of our podcast, The Ecom Show. And today I'm here with Parker Larsson, and he's the founder and CEO of ZapCycles. And now we are over 250 episodes, but I don't remember a store selling electric motorbikes. So that's a very special niche. Sub-niche, I would say, and very fruitful niche, I think. So let's talk about this more today. Hey, Parker, how are you?
Hey, Daniel. I'm doing good. Thanks.
So tell us more about your story. When did you start this business? And is it your first business that you launched?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me on the show, Daniel. And yeah, it actually is my first business, my first try. I think it's going pretty well so far.
Yeah, 100%. So can we tell the listeners your revenue number, just like the, you know, how many figures?
Yeah, so the first full year of business was 2023, and I was able to go between 100 and 200,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's per month, right?
No, that was for the whole year.
Okay. In 23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, and I know you have only not many products here, right? Only four.
There's a handful of bikes, really. There's probably 5 to 6. And there's really only four that are the best sellers that we deal the most in.
Yeah. So how did you find these products back then?
That's a great question. So when I was researching and trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do and just learn as much as I could about the how of starting a business, because that's, you know, that's kind of what I was pondering about, what I was trying to answer was the how of starting this whole thing. And in that process, I had a little journal where I'd write down all my things and all my new information I was taking in. And I wrote down a list of 20 products that I thought would be cool or profitable or whatever. And I narrowed that list of 20 down to 5. And then I narrowed that 5 down to 3. And at the top of that list was electric dirt bikes. And that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah. What other products did you put on the list?
I put a bunch of random stuff. I had number 2 was a health nutrition booster. Mm-hmm. But originally it's like this package deal that is for malnourished children and pregnant women. And I just thought I would rebrand it as like a performance nutrition booster for athletes. There was a lot of random things on that list.
Yeah, but in the end, you decided not to do that, but this one, right? Why?
Yeah,
the bikes, by the way.
Yeah. I decided not to go that route with my first business just because of the complication of the food industry. But my love for motorcycles and dirt bikes and mountain bikes, any kind of cycling, is already a passion of mine. It's something I've grown up doing. I was on the mountain bike team in high school. So it was something that I knew I had passion for, and I knew was a high ticket item, which is, you know, one of my requirements on my list of products. And I knew that I could go through, you know, the hard things in starting a business, and I would have the motivation to push through those hard times.
Yeah. And what you mentioned, that high ticket item, so multiple thousands of dollars, right? One motorbike. Why didn't you want to sell something for like $50, $100, even less?
Yeah. I listen to podcasts like this, podcasts about entrepreneurs. And I heard this podcast about this group of entrepreneurs that were coaching people. And one thing that they recommended was a high ticket item. And I didn't know this at the time, but in choosing a high ticket item, not only are you choosing to make a larger margin on every sale, that's just naturally how high ticket items are. If you want to sell water bottles, you're not going to make, you know, you're going to make $5 to $8 in margin if the water bottle costs $20 or $25. So I wanted a large margin. I wanted a small customer basis. Just starting is because, you know, I didn't want to deal with a ton of different people and a million emails. I wanted to kind of condense my market so I could give the most quality service possible.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think just a few weeks ago, I talked to Joanna. Check out that episode, everyone, by the way. She sells high-end massage chairs, and those are $5,000-$10,000, and she has the same mentality. And it's just so different when you have a couple hundred of customers and each pays $5,000 or even more, versus selling those bottles or whatever for $20 or, you know, something, or even skincare, whatever. Yeah. And you have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of customers, and you make the same profit at the end of the day. So you have so many tickets and things to deal with. I think somebody said this at the mastermind, that you want to calculate your headache per dollar. And I really like this. So I think this ratio is better when you sell high ticket items.
Oh, 100% agree. Yeah. Your headaches per dollar are, you know, when you're not feeling very good and you're dealing with difficult customers, it can feel like your headaches are not worth the dollar that you're making.
Yeah. And sometimes customers, they are as crazy about a $20 product as a $4,000 product. It's crazy, you know, because once they are pissed, they are just pissed. So some people, they can be crazy about very cheap things. Yeah, those products that you found, how did you find them? How did you pick them? Because I guess electric motorbikes, there are not thousands of products, I guess, but still that is a you know, different products, right, that you can find. So how did you find the best ones that you sell on the store?
Yeah, so I did a ton of research online. I wanted to find the products that fit my niche perfectly, and also ones that were new, because I wanted to do something that was not existing already. And I found a couple of different companies that I liked a lot, namely Suron, Teleria, and even a custom bike called the Stealth Bombers, another really popular bike of ours. And then I did more research in finding the contact information for these companies, and trying to get in contacts with the manufacturers, with their sales representatives, and just trying to work my way up the chain to someone who, you know, can have that conversation of, so you want to be a dealer for us, you want to distribute bikes. Okay, that's great. Like, and then work out a plan for how to go forward from there. So it was a lot of hoops to jump through to try and find the right person, and then finally offer a sales pitch to that person that was convincing.
yeah. So you had to sell yourself first that you want to be a dealer and you are the right guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
How did you prepare for that? Like, I guess you have a lot of experience with this thing, and it's your hobby, right? So you could really explain to them how you would do it and all of that. Didn't you tell you that you are not experienced enough?
Yeah, some of them questioned my age when I reached out to them, like, because they would ask me how old I was, and I was 23 at the time. And you know, sometimes that went over well. Like, they were like, very, just by telling them that, they were very impressed, like, oh wow, this 23-year-old kid is reaching out to me, he's across the other part of the world, and he wants to make things happen. And then that would be leverage. But then sometimes it would be like, I would be talking to an older person or someone who heard the fact that I was younger, and they just, you know, thought, there's no way this kid is can say what he's saying he's gonna do, or has the capabilities. And so part of overcoming that was showing them the things that I've done, which namely is the place where I sell the bikes, you know, like different sales I've had for other products that are similar to theirs that I've been selling. And so that kind of brought me over the legitimacy barrier a little bit.
Yeah. Got it. And the other thing with these expensive items, so how about the shipping? If it was my business, I would be worried, like, what if something happens with the fulfillment? Like, this is a heavy product, it's a big product. Like, was it an issue, or how did you figure it out? Because you sell it online, right? And I guess you don't even see these products when you sell them. So they just directly ship it to the customer. How does it look like?
Yeah, so when I first started, I was primarily drop shipping. And now, 2.5 years later, you know, it's kind of half and half, where I'll stock products here. But in the beginning, dropship is a little bit scary with things like this expensive, because things do happen. Shipping companies lose bikes, you know, and you're out thousands of dollars. Bikes come late. Bikes come damaged, and the customer is pissed. What was really nice, because I just had to dive into these things, not knowing, you know, what would really happen until they did. and my suppliers and manufacturers are extremely gracious. They kind of laid out a system for me to be able to communicate with my customers about what to do when this stuff happens, because it does. And that's just the nature of shipping. That's the nature of the business. And really, at the end of the day, if I can gather the correct information from my customer and they know, you know, beforehand what to do, everything is covered. Like, I don't have to worry, because I know that the companies I'm working with, they will send a replacements, you know, the next day. They'll be able to replace entire bikes if need be, because I've, you know, gone through hard situations and had to deal with it, and know how to get the right information to the right people.
Yeah. So you had those situations, but you have the right suppliers which are helpful, right? So you don't work with those who don't want to help you or replace the product and those things. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I think not every supplier is like this. So especially with these high ticket things, yeah, it's super important.
Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show. I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode.
So how to sell bikes online? How about the marketing here? Like, how did you get started? You sold it to your friends first, or?
Yeah, that's a great question. I started because I just all I knew was I needed a place to sell them, right? Mm-hmm. So I created my website. I put hours and hours and hours into it myself, you know, trying to make it look as professional as possible and as trustworthy as possible. And then the next part of the equation is getting traffic to your site. And so I went to Facebook first, and I did the same kind of method where I just put in hours and I messed around with ads and I adjusted settings, and I wasted a lot of money, you know, getting a lot of people who weren't my correct target audience to my website. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, this isn't working out. So I went over to Google Ads, and Google Ads was, and you know, it's different for every business. It's different for every product. You got to go to where your customers are, you know, you got to find where they're searching for your product. And if you're not in the right place, you got to adjust it a little bit. It's kind of like fishing. So if the fish are down low, you got to adjust your hook. And Google Ads is where customers for my product work. Mm-hmm. And I've realized that pretty quickly because I was getting a lot less people to my site, but my conversion rate skyrocketed. Yeah. So really, like, that is what we've been working on for the last probably 8 months to a year, is just fine tuning where we found that success in our market and where we're finding our customers, and really just making sure that we're the best in that segment.
Yeah, definitely. I think with your niche, Facebook ads, it can be successful, but I think you really have to spend a lot of money if you want to make it successful. And that's definitely not the channel where you can be the success. You know, it takes a lot of time and money. So I think that would be like, if you already have like 3-4 marketing channels that works well, I would add Facebook ad as the next one, but not, I wouldn't start with that, or not even number two, number three, because you can show videos to people or, you know, different ads, but it takes time to convert those. Those people are scrolling. So it's different when somebody Googles for a specific product. Okay, I want to buy it. I'm already educated. I already know what this is, all of that. So that, I think that's understandable. Yeah. Do you sell mainly in the US or in other countries as well?
Yeah. So starting out, I wanted to target my ads so specifically, I only sold to people in the US. Mm-hmm. When I started finding a groove for how my ad campaigns were working and really just lowering my cost per click, I've, you know, opened up the sales and marketing tactics to all of Europe, mm-hmm. to Australia, to Canada, And recently there's been a huge spike in people in the Philippines who have been viewing my website. I have the ability to, to cater to all those people. I just hadn't done it before. So it's kind of exciting being able to sell to people in the UK and the Canada and, you know, places I've never been, to give them a product that I think is awesome, they think is awesome, and just being able to add to their life and bless them.
Yeah. When you set up the ads, do you make it really specific? I would think that your customers, they are typically 20 to 40 male, they have a certain interest, or you don't care about it, like even female, whatever age, doesn't matter. How much do you specify?
No. Yeah, definitely for my products, I specify for males. And you would be surprised. There's a lot of people. So I usually target a wide age range, mm-hmm. because the way it usually goes, how I've interacted with my customers and I see, is it's the young people who are searching for the product, but it's the older people who purchase the product. Because most 20-year-olds cannot afford, a $5,000 e-bike. Yeah. So it's advantageous to have a wide range, mm-hmm. for my company.
Interesting. Yeah. So I guess many times the young guys, they use the bike, but their parents, they buy it. And it's very common with many products, even makeup for teenagers. So very different products. It's quite common. That's interesting. So in this journey, how did you learn about these things? Maybe do you have a mentor or somebody who helped you? Any name that you would mention, or podcast, book, whatever? How did you learn about entrepreneurship?
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer, because there's been so many people who've come into my life and influenced my journey to, achieve this goal that I've had of becoming an entrepreneur. I would say, namely, I grew up in the LDS church, and in the LDS church, when you're a youth, you go to class. That's kind of what you do every Sunday. And they assign leaders to that class to kind of teach the young men and go on camping trips with them and do fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened to be that two of those, young men's leaders who went through class with me as I grew up, from age 16 to 19, they were entrepreneurs themselves. They were newlywed. They had been, started their own businesses and multiple tries doing their own things. And I saw that at a younger age, and I just held them on a pedestal because I wanted to be like them. I wanted that. We had a great friendship and relationship. And then as I've started, when I was at that point of life where I was starting my business, I reached out to them and, I started with going out to lunch with them, sitting down with them, talking to them. And then it turned into, if you want someone to bless your life, it's good to give blessings into theirs. So, mm-hmm. My mentors were those people, those leaders that I had. And, I feel like they've done so much for me and trying to guide me onto that path and, start the business that I wanted to start.
Yeah. That's interesting, because most people, they would mention something online, they follow somebody online or listen to a podcast, but for you, it was somebody or two people, right, from your environment that influenced you the most. And yeah, you went on this route. They also have an online business, or they have a physical store or physical business? They do something very different than what you do?
So theirs is actually very similar. Both of them have online stores. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them sells wallets. The other one sells high powered lights for motorcycles. So yeah, it's kind of similar, but the business strategy is extremely similar. Mm-hmm. So I was able to learn a lot from them and be able to kind of listen to their stories and what they've learned, and just kind of put my own spin on it.
Yeah, got it. So my last question today, what would you tell to your younger self before starting this business? And I guess it would be the same to other young folks out there who are listening and maybe they haven't started yet. I know many people, they are in college or they are watching us on LinkedIn or listen to the podcast. What would you tell them who are just before starting out, or maybe they are just having a hard day listening to this because I don't know, their Facebook ad account got shut down, or, you know, the hardships of entrepreneurship without the first results.
I've been there for sure. If I were to go back in time and tell myself something, I would tell myself to fail big. And these are the words of Denzel Washington. This is not my words, but I would say, you know, you need to fail big, because if you have the opportunity to fail, you know, in any kind of large way, it's because you're putting yourself out there enough to be able to have that failure. And that means you're making steps in the right direction, and you're progressing rapidly. And this failure, you know, the greatest teacher in my early years of business and learning how to do things was failure. A large failure teaches you things that you cannot learn anywhere else. You know, it's specific for what you're trying to do, your business, your products. That failure teaches you definitely the way that's wrong. And if you have the right attitude about it, you have the correct mentality, that failure can push you towards the right direction in ways that I never thought were possible. There was a time when I was scammed out of $2,000 trying to start my business. I was just doing anything and everything to try and get myself out there and start moving products. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people ask me like, well, didn't that make you like, maybe you should pump the brakes a little bit. Like, you're out $2,000. Like, doesn't that make you want to rethink your decision to try and pursue this course? And that was completely opposite what my thought process was. My thought process was, well, you know, that sucked. Like, that was bad. But I'm not in school. Like, that's my tuition. Like, that was a huge lesson for me. And it was a big loss. And that's, you know, I've retained that knowledge well because of how bad it was going through it. And I've never made that mistake again. It helped me, you know, realize what I was doing wrong. And then it pushed me in the right direction so much faster because I learned from that mistake pretty quickly.
Yeah. And it was painful. So then when it's painful, you learn even faster, right? So, yeah. But I know some people, they will label you as someone crazy if you don't. Yeah, so I know that. Yeah, thank you, Parker. I think this was a great conversation today. You shared a lot of insights and also about your journey. I think people, they can learn a lot from your story. And thanks everyone who listened to us today. In the description, we will put the link of Parker's e-commerce store. So if anyone wants to try e-bikes, I never tried an e-bike, e-motorbike. I would love to try. So yeah, check out those great products. I will also put one more link into the description. It's from my side. So with my team, we collected the top 100 email templates from the past 5 years that we created for our clients. We made it available. You can download it for free. So check that link out as well. And thanks again, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks, Daniel.